Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. God, our God is so good. Our Father is amazing. What a good God. What a good Father He is. Hallelujah. The Bible says He has loved us with an everlasting love. I know that you and I continue to celebrate the love of God for us. I trust that you are doing well, you and your loved ones. I trust that you are enjoying the goodness of the Lord as the year progresses. This is a year of supernatural shift for you. This is a year of incredible miracles. Hallelujah. And I know that God's word will not fall to the ground. Every promise that He has made to us, He will be faithful to fulfill and to establish in all our lives. Amen. I just want to thank you wherever you're joining us from tonight, across this nation, in different parts of the world, on our different platforms. Glory to God. I am truly thankful for the opportunity to get around the Word of God again tonight with the saints. Hallelujah. We are experiencing the goodness of our God. Doors are opening of their own accord. The Lord is making a way where there was no way. Good things are happening, miracles, testimonies, the favor of God like the rain. Hallelujah. And I am just so thankful for this opportunity that the Lord has given to us in this season to be alive, to be able to enjoy His goodness, to be able to tell the story, to be able to testify about how good our God has been. Hallelujah. Woo! I tell you, saints, we are in for a glorious ride. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. Hallelujah. God is going to beat every expectation. He's going to surpass every expectation. Hallelujah. And you and I will live to tell the story. Can somebody say amen? Father, we are so thankful to you tonight. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for everyone under the sound of my voice tonight. All of my brothers and sisters, everyone that's joining us, wherever they are joining us from. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your goodness to us. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you for smiling on us. Thank you for being so gracious and so kind to us. Thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. Father, I bless your name. I bless your name. Lord, we yield to you, precious Holy Spirit. We welcome you tonight. And I ask that you breathe upon your word and breathe upon our hearts. Grant us illumination. Lord, cause there to be a supernatural shift even through our study of the word tonight. Let there be a love revolution. Let it begin, O God, just as you have ordained. Lord, take us deeper and deeper and deeper into a revelation of your love. Help us know, like Paul the Apostle prayed, that we may know the length and the breadth, the heights, the depths of the love of God. And we may know the love of God that passes all knowledge so that we can be filled with the fullness of God. We thank you tonight. Precious Lord, we give you the glory and we give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you so much again. and welcome. This is a glorious time to be alive. Hallelujah. We are all beneficiaries of the love of our Father. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I like to personalize that. For God so loved me. God so loved Kayode that he gave his only begotten Son, that if I would believe him, then I would not perish, but I would have everlasting life. The life of God that we all live today, the life of God, the Zoe life of God that we all experience today, is a product of his love. It's because he loved us. The Bible says in the Old Testament, he loved us with an everlasting love. Long before we ever did anything to qualify, to deserve it, God loved us. He loved us from the beginning, from even before the foundation of the world was laid. Like we are told in Ephesians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Oh, my goodness. I am so excited about this love revolution. Hallelujah. The revelation of this love revolution that you and I are so privileged. So privileged to be engaged in. He loved us so much, our Father. He loved us so much. There is no way to describe the extent of our Father's love for us. When you and I lay hold, when we lay hold on the clarity, the revelation of the love of God for us, my brother, my sister, our lives will never be the same again. Ever. Ever. Hallelujah. Ever. When we get a glimpse, just a glimpse, of the depth of his love for us, how much he loves us, how much he loves us. He loved us so much, he gave us his only begotten Son. He loved us so much, he gave us the best that he had. He loved us so much, he sacrificed everything. He sacrificed everything. Ephesians chapter 1. From verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. In love. The Amplified in that verse 4 says, even as in his love, he chose us, actually picked us out for himself as his own in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated, and set apart for him and blameless in his sight, even above reproach before him in love. It's all about the love of God. He said in verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. He has made us accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are accepted in the beloved. That means we are beloved by him. That means we are one of the many beloved. But we are like one in a million. The love that God has for us is not shared. It's not portioned equally, like across all his creation. No, he loved each and every one of us as though we were the only one he ever created. There is no human mind that can possibly comprehend the magnitude of the love of God. It takes a revelation of the Holy Spirit to help us come into a place of clarity and understanding regarding the love of God. Regarding the love of God. No wonder in Ephesians 2, in that same Ephesians, in chapter 2, hallelujah, in chapter 2, he says, but God, this is verse 4, but God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, verse 7, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The great love with which he loved us. The great love. There is no human mind that can comprehend the depth of that love. He said in the Amplified Version, in verse 7, he said first in verse 4, but God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. Intense love. There is an intensity about the love of God that is way beyond the comprehension of man. The intense love. Intense love. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter where you are, you will never be able to escape the intensity of the love of God. God loved you so much. He loved you so much. He gave you everything that he had. His sacrifice was the ultimate sacrifice, but it was not a ritualistic sacrifice. It was not a sacrifice based on expectation. It was not a sacrifice based on trying to fulfill some requirement. No. He loved us with an everlasting love. He loved us from before the foundation of the world. We just read that in Ephesians. He chose us because of his love for us. Hallelujah. The intensity of the love of God for you and for me is beyond any human comprehension. There is no human parent. There is no, the love of a parent is probably one of the deepest love or kinds or levels of love that there is anywhere in the world. But there is no love of any parent, any spouse, any sibling, any friend that can be compared with the love that the Father has for us, for you and for me. He said there in verse 7, he did this so that he may clearly demonstrate, this is the Amplified, he did this so that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor, his kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. Limitless, surpassing, free-flowing. Those are the words that describe the love of the Father for us. He made the ultimate sacrifice. He made the ultimate sacrifice. He demanded that our redemption be guaranteed by the ultimate sacrifice that he made for us. He swore with an oath, whatever it takes to redeem him, whatever it takes to redeem her, whatever it takes to have them back as my family, I will pay. I will pay that price. That's what he said. I will pay that price. Surpassing, limitless, free-flowing love, boundless love. The intensity of the love of God is beyond any human comprehension. Ephesians chapter 3, in Paul's prayer, there from verse 14, he said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. How did the whole family in heaven and earth, how did it come to be named after him? Because he paid the ultimate price for the redemption of every human being. He opened up his heart, our Father did. He opened up his heart and he gave everything he had. He gave everything he had. He had a conference with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And he said to him, Son, will you go and would you pay this price? I am willing to make that sacrifice. Will you go and will you pay this price? And our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, said, yes, Father, I will. Not my will, but your will be done. Not what I want, but what you want. If that is what you have desired, I will do it. The Father made the ultimate sacrifice. The Son made the ultimate sacrifice, all because of us. We are the object of the love of God. We are the object of the love of God. As we get into this love revolution, my prayer is that a brand new revelation of what it means, what the love of God for you means, will be made available to you, will be delivered to you by the Holy Spirit. There is no sacrifice. There is no sacrifice. I remember at the beginning of the year, we started this talking about Father. We titled it, Father, I Choose You. Father, I Choose You. There's no sacrifice any human can make And of course, in our 2026 confession, there's that line, there's that those two paragraphs, we read them earlier on in the year. This is my year of vision shift and generational shift. I see the invisible and I do the impossible. This is my season of opportunity and open doors. I give my bread to the hungry and I offer hope to the hopeless. I am anointed to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort the afflicted and to set the captives free. The spirit of sacrifice is upon my life. I say yes to your way and yes to your will. My Father, I choose you as my priority and I make you my destiny. I receive the sweet fragrance of heaven over my life today. The plague is stopped, the curse is broken, and my bloodline is redeemed forever. There is no level of sacrifice that any human on this earth can make that can compare to the love that our Father showed to us from the foundation of the world. There is just none. There is no sacrifice. There is nothing that you and I could do that could compare with the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. Why is it important that you recognize that you are so precious to God? You are so precious to God. You are like the apple of his eyes. You are so precious to God. You are so precious. You are so precious to God. No wonder Paul prayed. This is one of the most important, most powerful prayers that apostle ever prayed for the church. In Ephesians 3. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. How did the whole family in heaven and earth become named after him? Because he paid the ultimate price for the redemption of every human. The Father paid the ultimate price. The Son paid the ultimate price. And those sacrifices paved the way for your redemption and mine. And the sacrifice, this ultimate sacrifice that they made, was deeply rooted in their love. It was not a ritualistic sacrifice like the priests used to make in the Old Testament. Because remember, the priests, every year, they will bring the blood of bulls and the blood of goats and the blood of they would do year after year after year, but it was just a ritual. It was just a ritual. There was no love there. The first time ever that there was a sacrifice that was deeply rooted in love, that was made for the redemption of man, was when Jesus Christ went to the cross. That's why Paul prayed that prayer. Let's read this further. He said that God will grant unto you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might. This is Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, so that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So what is he saying? If you can comprehend the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of the love of God. If you can know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, if you can have a revelation of the love of Christ, you will be filled with the fullness of God. If you get a revelation of the love of God for you, you will be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout the ages, world without end. The love of Christ is all encompassing. There is no need that is beyond the love of Christ. There is no problem that is beyond the love of Christ. There is no mountain that is greater than the love of Christ. There is no giant that can withstand the love of Christ. There is no fear, no anxiety, no problem anywhere that can withstand the love of Christ. The love of Christ is so all-encompassing. Jesus said in the Old Testament, was saying that to this person who asked him a question about which is the greatest commandment. Listen, Jesus said, the love of God, that is what all the law and the prophets hang on. The love of God. Everything in the universe hangs on the love of God. Faith hangs on the love of God. Prayer hangs on the love of God. Authority hangs on the love of God. Amen. Prosperity and provision, everything hangs. When you get a revelation of the love of God for you, my friend, you'll be filled with the fullness of God. A spirit of sacrifice is awesome. But the spirit of sacrifice is really non-existent without the love of God. Love is the ultimate sacrifice. I don't know if you were with us when we opened up the year. And we started studying. And I know where we left off. We started looking with the number of things that we had said. But in Hebrews chapter 10, we started looking at the differences. This is where we left off. And I never really did go through those differences. And we just followed the Lord and kind of finished up our teachings during the fast. And we left it off. And we never really did go. What were the differences between the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made and the sacrifices that the priests made every year? The Bible tells us they were very different. Well, sacrifice is sacrifice. Somebody can say sacrifice is sacrifice. Right? Like, after all, you asked me to do that and I did it. You asked me to go there and I went there. Sacrifice is sacrifice. But no, sacrifice is not sacrifice. There's sacrifice and then there's sacrifice. Let's read this in Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go read from verse 1 to 7. Let's talk about the sacrifices of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, sacrifice is sacrifice. Eh? You asked me to do that, I did that. You told me to go there, I did it. Sacrifice is sacrifice. No, sacrifice is not sacrifice. There's sacrifice and then there's sacrifice. When sacrifice is based on the love of God, my friend, that is way beyond, and that delivers way beyond what any other kind of sacrifice can deliver. You remember in that scripture in John chapter 15, Jesus said, There's no greater love. There's no greater love than that a man, we're going to read it in a few minutes, if I can get to that tonight, that a man lay down his life for his friends. It's no great. Some say, oh, love is love. No. There is no greater love than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Let's talk about this for just a few minutes before we have to close tonight. Why was the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross? Why did he get the job done? What made it so different? Because the Bible tells us there were sacrifices every year that the priests made. But it did not suffice. It never got the job done. What made the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made? What made that so sufficient to pay the price of redemption? We read in Ephesians chapter 3, it says, when you have a revelation of the love of God, and you know the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of God's love, and you know the love of God that passes knowledge. That is, when you have a revelation of it, it has to be a spiritual revelation. It has to be a spiritual revelation. It's not something that we can comprehend with the mind. But it says when we get a hold of that revelation, we become filled with the fullness of God. Why was the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ so different? Let's read in Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 1. It says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices that they offered year after year, year by year continually, make the commas thereunto perfect. So there was a failure, even in that system that was recognized. Even though there was a requirement being fulfilled, a requirement of being killed, sins of the people, every year the high priests had to do that, to fulfill a requirement. But the requirement that they were fulfilling was really not a requirement of redemption. It was a requirement of band-aiding. We all know what the band-aid is, right? Right? Like there is a wound. This wound maybe this wound needs some aggressive treatment. It's already infected. There's so many things going on there. And it can get worse, and it can actually create a bigger problem. But at the moment, you don't have access to that treatment that it requires. It's bleeding profusely. It's sore. It's getting infected. Well, the one thing you have a band-aid. You can put something on it just temporarily to help you get to where you can get that treatment. That's what the sacrifices of the priests were. It was a band-aid. They just band-aided it. just to keep it until they could arrive at where the real requirement of redemption could be fulfilled when Jesus came. Praise God. It says every year, those sacrifices that they offered could not make the commas thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be purged? Would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins if those sacrifices were good enough to satisfy the requirement of redemption. Why do it year after year? Why repeat it every year? Right? Shouldn't the consciences have been purged? Shouldn't sin have been atoned for permanently? But that was not happening. Right? That was not happening. It says, but in those sacrifices, this is verse 4, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Verse 5, therefore, when Jesus came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body you have prepared me. You see, since a sacrifice is sacrifice, after all, a sacrifice is sacrifice. Like he just asked me to do, I did it. He told me to do that, I paid the price, I did that. He told me to give this, I gave it. He told me to go there, I went there. Sacrifice is sacrifice, I did it. No. Sacrifice is not sacrifice. He said, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not. Well, what he was looking for was a sacrifice, but it wasn't the sacrifice that they were making. Right? He said, but a body you have prepared me, verse 6, in burnt offering and sacrifices for sin, you have had no pleasure. Look at verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. I came to do your will. I came to do your will. Not my will, but your will be done. I came to live for your will. I came to do whatever you have asked of me. Not by getting an animal from somebody that I put on the altar. No, but becoming the animal myself. Remember, earlier on, we discussed the sacrifice. The word sacrifice means a victim. Jesus said, I will be your victim. He said to the Father, I will be your victim. I will be your victim. That is, I will pay the price. I will lay down my life voluntarily and satisfy the requirement for redemption. What a sacrifice. What a sacrifice. What a sacrifice. What a glorious sacrifice. What a glorious sacrifice. Yeah, we can talk about all the differences, but there's only one major thing I really want to get to tonight. We can talk about all the different. I have a list of 7 here. What made the sacrifice of Jesus different? What made it different? I mean, I have a list of 7, but there's one of the most important thing. So I'm going to get to it tonight. The most important thing that God did for us through Jesus was he initiated us into the love of God. He initiated us into the love of God. That's why it's my prayer tonight, over the next few weeks, as we follow the Holy Spirit, whether we're talking about how we choose the Father, we choose his will over our will, whether we're talking about the spirit of sacrifice and the different aspects of the spirit of sacrifice, or whether we're talking about this love revolution, whatever it is, along the different lines that the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us over the next few weeks, my prayer for you is that this love revolution will become a real thing in your life. That beyond what you have experienced leading up to now, you will come to know the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of the love of God, that you become full. You become filled with the fullness of God. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, we can look at all the different things. I have seven things listed here. What made the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? What made it different from the sacrifice of the high priest? Number one, it was not a ritualistic sacrifice. The high priest, they had to bring their animals. They did their rituals. And when they got done, everybody went home. It was just a ritual. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ was not a ritual. Number two, it was his choice. It was a decision he made by himself. Not a decision that was made for him. It was a decision that he made by himself. When they brought those bulls, those goats, those lambs, when they brought them to the altar, the lambs were struggling. The goats, the animals were struggling to break free. They didn't want to die. They were killed nevertheless, but they didn't want to die. But when Jesus, the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world, when he came to the altar, he came there voluntarily. He laid down his life. He said it in John. He said, no one could take this life from me. I laid it down so I can take it again. I laid it down voluntarily. We'll read that in just a minute. He says, it was his choice. It was a decision that he made by himself, not a decision that was made for him. Number three, he didn't sacrifice animals like the other priests. He gave himself completely. He gave everything that he had to God. It was a whole life sacrifice. He didn't pay for an animal and sacrifice it. He didn't give an offering for that sacrifice. No, it was a whole life sacrifice. He gave everything. Glory to God. Glory to God. Can you say, thank you, Jesus, for giving everything for me? Can you say that? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for giving everything, for shedding your precious blood on the cross of Calvary for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for giving your life, for giving everything that you had. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for not holding anything back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Number four, his sacrifice was in complete submission and obedience to the will of the Father. I came to do your will. That's what he said. We just read that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. I came to do your will. His sacrifice was in complete submission and obedience to the will of the Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can you say it again? Thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice that you made for me. You were not compelled to do it. You were not forced to do it. You willingly, completely submitted to the will of the Father. And you gave up everything that you had for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And it got the job done. It got the job done. Number five, his sacrifice was based on what was written. The eternal purpose, design, and predetermination of God. Like he says in the scripture, according as it is written. That's also in Psalms 40. His sacrifice was based on what was written. That means it fully complied with the desire, the intent, and the purpose of the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He didn't try to substitute what was written. The Father didn't ask for blood and he gave water. The Father didn't ask for a lamb without spot and blemish and then he gave him something that's broken and something that is blemished and corrupted. No, he did not substitute what was written. He gave what was written, completely in compliance with the will of the Father. Number six, he was wholeheartedly committed to pleasing his Father. He was not committed to pleasing himself. He was committed to pleasing his Father. He was fully committed to pleasing his Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And finally, Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient to pay the price for the eternal redemption of man. It got the job done. Finally, Finally, he got the job done. Every sacrifice made year after year after year by the high priest, every year when they finished making those sacrifices, everybody went home, but it didn't get the job done. They were coming back same time next year to the same place to repeat exactly the same thing that they did the year before. Finally, when Jesus made his sacrifice, it got the job done. On the cross, he said, "It is finished. It is finished." This was a sacrifice, not of ritual. This was a sacrifice of love. Let me say that again. This was a sacrifice, not of ritual. This was a sacrifice of love. Hallelujah. The priest's sacrifices were sacrifices of rituals. They were ritualistic. They were just to fulfill the legal requirement. Legal expectation. It had nothing to do with their hearts. Everything was just based on what. Have you ever asked someone to do something, and they actually went and got it done, but you know they got it done with such. You could see the attitude was wrong. You could see they were not happy. You could see how spiteful they were of what they were asked to do. You could, at the end of the day, even though they did what was asked of them, you know, you almost wish that you never asked. you almost wish that you never asked, because it was all just physical. It was all just, you know, it was just, everything was just there was no heart. There was no heart. There was no love. It's one of the biggest gifts that God gave to us. His love. It's the greatest gift that Jesus gave to us. His life, but his love. Hallelujah. John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, let's read this from verse 14. He says, I'm the good shepherd. Let's actually read that from the New Living Translation. I think I'd like to read that from the NLT tonight. John chapter 10, from verse 14. This is Jesus speaking, the words are in red. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. Verse 16, I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice and there will be one flock with one shepherd. Verse 17, the Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so I may take it back again. Verse 18, no one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to. And also I have the authority to take it up again, for this is what my Father has commanded. No one can take it from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. It was a sacrifice of love. Everything Jesus did for us was out of his love. I want to close tonight. Can you join me and let's just thank God for the love of God? What his love has accomplished in our lives. How his love didn't do a half-hearted job. How his love didn't start and stop, but how he loved us with an everlasting love. How his love got the job done. Can you go ahead and thank God with me tonight? Can you celebrate the love of God for you? His ultimate sacrifice, the price he paid for your redemption and for mine. Can you go ahead and thank him? Can you try to remember? The psalmist said, he said that prophetic psalm in Psalm 40, that same prophetic psalm that was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, where it was talking about he came to do the will of the Father. He came to give up his body. He wasn't just giving an offering, just any kind of sacrifice. No. A body had been prepared for him and he was laying down that body. But in that same prophetic psalm, before David got to talking about prophetically about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, earlier on that psalm, in Psalm 40, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. He brought me up out of the miry clay. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Psalm 40 verse 2. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Many verse 5. O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, your thoughts which are towards me, towards us, they cannot be reckoned. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto you. If I would declare them, if I would speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. They are more than can be numbered. Can you for a minute remember what the Lord has done in your life? What his love has accomplished? Can you remember the horrible pit he brought you out of? I remember the horrible pit he brought me out of. Can you remember the miry clay, the slippery slope of life that you and I were on when the Lord picked us up and he saved us and planted our feet on solid ground? Can you remember? Can you remember? And can you thank God tonight for his everlasting love? Can you thank God tonight for his infallible love? His all-surpassing, boundless, limitless love. Father, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you for loving us, even when we did not deserve it. Thank you for giving the Lord Jesus Christ for us. Thank you for giving your best to us. Thank you. Thank you for opening your heart to us. We didn't qualify. We never qualified. No. We should have been disqualified. We should have been cast away and cast out and cast down. We should have been forgotten forever. But in your love, you redeemed us. You saved us. You set us free. We thank you, our God. We bless your holy name. Receive the glory tonight. Our lives are the way they are today because of your love. We have peace because of your love. We have joy because of your love. Hallelujah. We can sing a new song like David the psalmist said. You've put a new song on our hearts. You've put a new song on our lips. We can sing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Our lives are full of joy and laughter and happiness because of your love for us. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Whew. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm excited about this love revolution. Hallelujah. A newness in this season and beyond. Glory to God. Well, our time is up. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. I look forward to seeing you same time next week. God bless you. Good night.